This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining me tonight. One of the things the Illinois legislature did, it seems like a lot of the things the legislature did is causing ire on one side or the other, and one of those things might be the possibility of voting by mail in the November election, but it's something that, regardless of how you feel about it, that Knox County Clerk Scott Erickson might very well be ready for come the November election. Scott is on the line from his palatial office in the Knox County Courthouse. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thanks, Will. I appreciate the opportunity to talk.
Your office is palatial, right? Did I describe that correctly?
It's got a P in it. Is it a place? Yeah. I mean, I'm actually hunkered down in the old fallout shelter in the basement.
Oh, nice. That's a good choice. That's really the best way to protect yourself from coronavirus. But, you know, you might get, issues with...
It's the radon.
Radon and stuff. But, otherwise, you can't protect yourself from everything.
I know. I've got the blinds shut in case the snipers try shooting, and no laser recording these people trying to record my conversations. So, I mean, we do what we can to protect ourselves.
But that's why it's a fallout shelter that you're in. There you go. While I'm thinking of it, before I ask you about this vote-by-mail thing lawmakers passed, Scott, how has your office operation changed since COVID-19 broke out? We talked on election night, and that was right when all of this was starting, and at that point you were still trying to... get through the election, and two, figure things out. What has changed in the last few months for you?
It's been a different dynamic.
Yeah.
With the courthouse being with public access restricted and things, we're used to having people come in and talk to us at the counter all the time. Well, now that option is extremely limited, so it's driven a lot more into the phone call conversations. We've converted some of our processes online. For marriage licenses, before, they used to have to come in person. Now we put those applications online so they can fill them all out, send them to us ahead of time, and then we can process that stuff. So instead of them waiting 30 minutes for their marriage license to get completed, we can get that done once they get here in maybe 4 or 5 minutes.
Wow.
So that limiting that exposure. We've just been trying to do what we can, and it's a whole different ballgame. And you'd think that with less traffic and things that I'd be slower in my workload, but it seems like I've got more going on now than I did when we were open and regular for full business. So I haven't quite figured that part out yet, how I'm getting the short end of the stick there. But
yeah, and I imagine that it's probably had some effect on your staff too, right?
Yes, we were rotating staff for a while to try to limit exposure and things. Now we're back. We brought everybody back full staff, getting ready to gear back up. The courthouse is getting ready to open up. I think June 1, the court system is going to start trying to bring things back. So it'll be a learning curve. We're getting ready to start putting in the 6-foot barriers and the markers on the floors and things to try to help with social distancing and stuff. So. We'll figure it out. It may just be there may be some bumps in the road, but at the end, it'll all get figured out.
I can imagine. I can just picture you right now marking off 6-foot spots on your floor with measuring tape and whatnot.
I've got the official electioneering tape measure that goes out 100 feet, so we're going to stretch that sucker out. And
that's nice. That's nice. You're so practical like that.
Yes. I mean, we've already got it for the election side of things. We might as well multitask with it. And
there you go.
We're saving dollars.
I am curious. I have things like marriage licenses and whatnot come up a lot in the last couple of months.
You'd be amazed.
Really?
It actually spiked right as the shelter at home order started to come into play. We saw a big spike in the marriage licenses. I don't know if people were wanting to get married during a pandemic.
Were they worried that they wouldn't be able to have a ceremony or something like that?
Yeah, and I think it might have been an out for some of them that we were debating. Well, we want a big bear ceremony. No, we want a small ceremony. Well, let's just do it now. We can have a small ceremony. Then our family won't be mad at us for not doing the big to-do, and we'll just do a party later on. But, yeah, we've had an increase in the number of marriage licenses, and it's just like, wow, you would think it'd be the complete opposite.
Get married and constantly be stuck at home together? Gosh, that's crazy.
I know. What the heck are you thinking? No. No, yeah. But it actually has increased. It was a strange new world with that. But
yeah, so it sounds like aside from barriers and markers and things, it's probably going to be pretty nice though to get back to some semblance of normal here come next week, right?
Right, absolutely. The phone calls will slow down, and in person conversations and stuff will probably start to pick up again. But it won't be what it was before. It'll be a new type of norm.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll adapt and we'll make things work and just we're always trying to figure out the best ways to do things. And, well, that didn't work quite the way we were planning on it. So how can we tweak it to make it better for us and for our constituents and everything? So,
all right. Lawmakers here during the session last week approved an initiative to allow for voting by mail. What are some of your thoughts? Good idea?
Yes and no.
Okay.
How's that for a middle of the road answer?
I appreciate middle of the road answers
there
these days.
Go, yeah. When I first got into office, we had an unofficial vote by mail program kind of in place that a lot of the counties in the state did, mm-hmm. where people could apply for if they were incapacitated, they were elderly, or weren't able to be getting out to the polling locations, they could send a letter to us or contact us, and we put them on a recurring list that we'd send them out. So, you know, hey, it's election time, we're sending you the application for your absentee ballot. Do you still meet these qualifications and criteria? Well, when they changed the vote-by-mail system and implemented the early voting systems where there was a no-excuse absentee, those lists and things kind of got pushed to the wayside, and they kind of said, no, we don't want that. You have to basically reapply every time there's an election.
Mm-hmm.
So the county clerks in the state, the majority of us, were trying to push for a vote-by-mail system where it kind of looks similar to what they came up with, not quite to some of the extreme on some of the areas, but basically trying to get back to that vote-by-mail, permanent vote-by-mail list, which makes it a little bit easier for us to manage because then we know, okay, I've got 5,000 ballots, people that are on my permanent list that I know are going to want ballots, so I know we can budget appropriately for publications of the different things and have all our envelope sets and stuff ready to go. So it'll be different. With what they presented to and the governor has on the governor's desk now, it's got some of the things we were looking for, but there's some of the other stuff that they kind of may have gone and overreached on. But luckily, it's supposedly only for one election, but it is Illinois, and things, if someone likes the way something's gone, then we could end up with something like this on a permanent basis or worse, potentially.
Yeah. I want to ask you about some of that in a second, but I'm curious as to why, and if you said this, I don't recall it all of a sudden, but forgive me, but what made the previous sort of vote-by-mail system kind of fall by the wayside? Was it just not getting used?
No, it was being used. It was when they the advent of early voting.
Okay.
Where they actually did the no absentee excuses and were when you come in and vote in person for no not have to have an excuse. Before you used to have a reason. I'm not going to be at the polling place. I've got a doctor's appointment. I'm working. When they switched that, basically said you could just show up on a Thursday and vote because you feel like you want to vote on a Thursday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
They pushed that away. Now, there were some counties that were taking this list to the extreme, and there was one county up north that was doing similar to what they're wanting us to do now, basically really push this absentee side of things.
It wasn't a certain county in northeastern Illinois, was it?
It wasn't the one you're thinking, though.
Oh, that's what I thought. Okay.
No, it was a neighboring county to that.
Oh, okay.
But she, the clerk up there, got in a little bit of trouble because they were had a very productive vote by mail application system. They were really getting a good number of people that were voting by mail, and for some reason the legislators or the state board of elections didn't like that and basically quashed it. And even at one point had legislation that they were trying to pass that would ban them from doing what they're asking us to do now.
Wow. Go figure. So what you're saying is that this system, at least in one county, was working almost too well. So lawmakers said, well, we don't want to have that happen.
You can't have that. No. Well, it was just the mindset of things people weren't looking and had never had to deal with a pandemic type thing before.
Yeah.
And with the election side of things, it's not only just the voting side. It's my taking care of my election judges and we can't do these elections without the great election judge team that we've got in place.
Yeah.
And being able to make sure that they're safe and secure, and we're not going to put them out there at risk. So we did what we could this last election in the primary to take care of the stuff for them, and then we'll look at doing things again for them in November as well, to maybe even up the ante to make sure that they're taken care of, because they're like extended family to us. I mean, we see them at least once a year, if not a couple times a year, and we want them to be safe and healthy.
But that said, though, at least in terms of election judges, didn't you have problems at least filling some of those slots because people were worried about illness and things like that?
We did. We had some drop-offs and things with we have a lot of elderly judges, the people that are retired, because they have time and opportunity to do that. We truly appreciate them doing that. But with that comes they were in that demographic that was right in the bullseye of this corona. And they were concerned themselves. We were concerned for them. And some of them had doctors that said, you know what, we can't have you do this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I totally understand. We get it. And that's why we're looking and trying to make sure that we've got everything in place to protect them when they're there, so that they are safe and protected, along with our voters as well. We want to make sure that it's a win-win for everybody.
In terms of voting by mail, I guess on one hand, I guess I kind of like the idea of convenience, I guess, with voting by mail. But on the other hand, I guess maybe I'm still one of those people where, although, you know, I voted early and you saw me in your office voting early, but, you know, I still kind of like the idea of going to a polling place too.
I know it's you think, I mean, I run the elections. I could vote anytime I wanted to vote because we have an early voting site here in my office.
Mm-hmm.
I vote on election day in my polling location just for that fact.
Wearing your American flag tie.
Absolutely. But I go out because I want my judges and the voters to know that I'm not afraid to go out in the poll and vote. I'm going to take care of this because that's my duty as a citizen.
But on the other hand, I imagine you can understand where some people might be a little apprehensive about doing that.
Absolutely. Especially now when the primary in March, we were just starting to get into this a little bit, and it was just peaking, rearing its ugly head, and now it's reared its ugly head and face and neck and shoulders and whatever else, and it changes the whole dynamic. So, yes, we were already planning, once we went into the shelter in place orders, all right, what's this going to make elections look like in November? What's this making elections look like down the road for future stuff? How we were already preparing to have a lot of people saying, hey, you know what, I'm not going to go. I want to vote by my absentee ballot, and I don't want to run the risk of something popping back up again, and I can't get out to vote.
Yeah.
Those states that voted after us that had concerns that people were in the middle of the corona stuff, and their elections had to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there was a lot of discussion and debate on should they have canceled, should they have delayed, were they right in continuing on. And there's a certain point in time where it's a go, no-go. Once you've reached that, past that threshold, there's basically, you're in the glide pattern. You're laying in that plane whether you like it or not, and you've just got to make the best of it. And we were lucky enough, and knock on wood, that everything went smooth, and now we're just planning to try to make everything go as smooth as it can in November.
So with this voting by mail initiative that lawmakers passed, you mentioned that there were some things that were similar to what you were looking for and have done in the past, and then there were some things that are different that maybe you're not a big fan of. Talk about some of that.
Right. We're definitely encouraging and want people to be able to vote. And if vote by mail absentee was the way that people felt more comfortable this election to vote, which is what we were planning on doing, that's great. We want to make sure that they get their application, they get their ballots, they get everything taken care of. By implementing this new law, where it basically says we're sending applications to anybody who's voted in these last three elections, and you're automatically getting an application for a ballot. And then there's verbiage that has to go along with all this other stuff. And then they're going to follow up with letters after from the Secretary of State's office if you haven't requested a ballot. And then if you still haven't requested a ballot, they're going to send you a second notice from the Secretary of State's office and say, hey, you still haven't requested your ballot yet. It puts a lot of pressure on these people, and a lot of stuff is like, it's being a little overreaching and intrusive on that.
And we'll expensive.
Oh, absolutely. Anything the state does is not cheap, and it's going to cost us a tremendous amount of money to print all these ballots up, get all the stuff ready and mailed out to them, bring in the stuff back in, the applications and things. But we're fine with that. We'll make that part work. But over pushing and follow-up with, say, you know, hey, the Secretary of State's office can contact you and say, you know what, hey, it shows you still haven't sent your application back in for your ballot, or you just want to make sure you didn't miss it. But a second reach back out is like, okay, one's enough. A second one, you might be pushing it a little bit too much there.
Yeah, it seems like you're telling me that, you know, while on the other hand, it's your right to vote and you should exercise your right to vote, I don't want to feel like I'm being pushed or bullied into it.
Oh, absolutely. And I get out and talk to people. I know you don't think that happens, but I have to go out and talk to people. And
I thought you only talked to people on election day.
No. We talk to people all the time. But we run across, there's a good chunk of the population that don't vote and won't vote. And no matter what you talk to them and how you explain this stuff, it's like, you know, we're just not going to do it. And when they were talking about a while back, the automatic voter registration system, basically when you renewed your driver's license, they're going to register you to vote whether you liked it or not, unless you told them specifically don't do it.
Right.
And I argued till I was blue in the face that you're going to make tons of people upset because there's people that just don't want to do it. And, well, no, everybody wants to vote. Everybody wants to vote. I agree. Lots of people want to vote, but you can't force people and register them because they're not going to yell at you when they get the voter registration card in the mail. They're going to come and yell at me.
Yeah,
and then I'm going to turn around and tell them, "Oh, I completely agree with you. We'll cancel your registration, but the people you want to complain to are the ones that are down there in Springfield."
That said, though, and we've talked about this probably every time we've talked about an election. How do you get through to some of those people who just won't vote, and maybe try to make them change their minds?
We just express to them that, I mean, it's a civic duty. It's how you make decisions. When you can't actually make that decision, you are putting your trust in these people that you're voting for to make decisions for you, because you can't be at every public meeting at the municipality, at the county, at the state, at the federal level. You've got to put people in these places that you trust. They're going to be of similar like mind of you, and they've got the same values and ideas. And if you don't vote, then it makes it harder for you to then complain and say, "Well, no, I can't believe they're doing this stuff." It's like, well, you had a chance to influence that by going out to the poll and voting and saying, "I want to vote for candidate A because they agree with me more than candidate B does." But if you don't go out and do it, there's always the saying, "If you don't vote, you can't complain."
Right.
It's like we don't go to that extreme of things, but it gives you that input, and that gives you a piece of decision making process. And it works really, really well with the younger age students. We go out and talk to the kids at the high schools about getting registered to vote and the responsibilities of voting. It's like, your vote is the same vote as your parents' vote. You got the same weight in this election as they do. This is a cool thing. You've become majorly empowered by having that little voter registration card in your wallet or your purse.
So it sounds to me like certainly one, as you've said, there could be maybe improvements or changes to this process, but it sounds like that it's going to be, the bottom line is, no matter what you do here, and you said you're going to make it work, but it's going to be quite a burden.
Yes, there's going to be a lot more work involved with us on the management side of things, because now we're chasing and compiling lists of the last three elections so that we're not trying to send three applications to the same person. How are we generating these lists? How are we processing the mails they come back in? I mean,
but Scott, I want to vote three times. That's how they do it in Chicago.
I know, but we're not Chicago. We're outside of that.
You're not going to go that whole other state route on me, are you?
No. It's a whole new world. It's a whole different world, but it's not. But no, being able to keep track of all the paperwork and the flow, and presidential year general elections are huge. I mean, we're going to see, we're already planning on seeing a nice turnout.
Yeah.
Probably 70-80%, realistically.
Even though the primary wasn't what you had expected?
Right. Primaries are always down because there's still people that don't like that party affiliation, that moniker with their name. So they will stay out of that primary election, but they will come out and vote in the general election when there's no ballot. Both parties are on the ballot. There's ballot secrecy is secured. They're going to get out and vote, and that's great. We want those voices to be heard and that input to be put in. So we're already gearing up for busy. This just changes the focus of busy on election day in the polling location to busy 3 months prior to the election.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, to have to cross the T's and dot all the I's and make sure the ballot's accurate and all that stuff, that given you have a million precincts and things like that, I would love to say I don't envy you, but, you know, I know you, Scott. Maybe I do envy you. I don't know.
But you got a very good point. People are moving. I mean, if you're in the process of selling your home and those ballot applications go out in August, and in September you sell your house, and you didn't get your application there, but now you're reapplying for this other one on the site. It's a logistic nightmare on the back end,
yeah,
trying to track down and hunt down some of these people that know we sent you an application. Well, no, I've moved, and now I've got this. There's just a lot of what-ifs and things that the legislators don't see that on the backside.
Yeah. So it sounds to me like you would be telling me that it would, if you really wanted to vote by mail, it would just be easier to, as you said earlier, vote absentee.
Well, right. Yeah, I mean, we'll still have the early voting options things available. But if in those situations where if you're looking, if you've got your house or you're potentially moving from a location to a different location, those are going to be instances where we're going to want to talk to you and try to get that all figured out instead of playing the mail chase game.
To prevent fraud, if anything.
Yeah, being able to track that down and be able to help you. Okay, here's what we need from you. You send us X, Y, and Z. That way we can confirm and we can get you set up properly. We can take care of the old stuff and get you into the new stuff.
Okay.
But it's a whole new set of processes and procedures and things that we've got to build and develop to make sure that we're staying within the course and not unintentionally sending multiple ballots out or multiple applications out or different things out.
All right. Before I run out of time, Scott, anything else in regards to this that you want folks to know or that concerns you about this?
No, like I said, we always want people to vote. If you want to vote, we want to make sure that you're able to do that. The polling location stuff is going to be great. We're going to make sure that we've got those locations safe and secure for you so that if you choose to do go out on election day, we will have those things set for you. There's a requirement in the law about having my office open as a poll center type thing, so that anybody in the county, excluding the city of Galesburg, but could come into my office and vote. Adds a whole new logistical nightmare to that, and potential for voter fraud.
Yeah. My gosh. Well, you know, I guess the more things change, the more they stay the same. But it'd be nice if at least voting the process was pretty much staying the same.
Right. Well, we're hoping that everything goes smooth. We're going to make it as smooth a flow for the voters as we can and do our best to make sure they've got an easy election day.
Still need election judges?
We always are looking for election judges. We have judges that retire, judges that move out of the district. We get a lot of them that'll go to Florida or the warmer climates. And everyone that leaves, I ask, hey, do you need me to carry your bags for you? I'll be happy to go with you. But none of them have taken me up on the offer yet. I don't know why.
Wow, I can't believe that. With the propensity for some elected officials to be able to go to Florida, you'd think somebody would try to help you out there.
You would have thought somebody would have helped me out, but no. they just scoffed at me. I don't know why.
Well, maybe you can get somebody to take you to Lake Geneva instead. And information about elections and stuff's available on your website, right?
It will be. Yep, we're going to be working on updating and revamping all that. You can always call the office as well. We can try to get that information set up for you, too. Then we'll be doing a lot of public announcements and mailings and things as well.
What can I say? The coronavirus is starting to wear me down, finally. Knox County Clerk Scott Erickson, thank you so much for your time and your perspective, and hopefully this won't cause you to have too much stress here going forward.
Well, I appreciate it, Will. Thanks for all you do, and we appreciate it.
Stay tuned. We'll have more Galesburg's Evening News next on WGIL.